Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour two here in the Swain Event, and we start hour two with Touchdown or Turnover. That is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, the place where you belong. Better rate than better service. This weekend, we're going to get an NFL-style practice. NFL-style practice, what does that mean? Well, in training camp at the NFL level, you have fans. You have a ton of fans at practice. And Tennessee is going to have open practice this weekend. And here's a really good thing about open practice. It adds pressure. It adds pressure. One thing that I really liked about Butch Jones doing it, and I remember him saying this, this is a really good point, is, man, it's different. You change it up a little bit. Man, you have fans there at the stadium for those freshmen. They're not playing in front of a group of fans for the first time in the first game. Not saying it's going to be 80,000, 100,000, but just spectators, just people in the stands that see your play. You're already going to put your play on film. But the fans don't see that. The coaches see that. Your teammates see that. The old saying, the eye in the sky don't lie. Every day you put your work on film. But this Saturday, everyone is going to be able to see your work. So you get burned and you quit, or you don't show great effort, everyone's going to see it. I think this is a fantastic idea, giving Tennessee fans a peek behind the curtain, a peek under the hood. And the last 12 months have been just brutal. Good to get back out around people, outside, watch some football. So Touchdown Turnover. Tennessee will have a good turnout for the open practice. And I can't quantify a good turnout. I want to, but I can't. Because I don't think there's any way that you can be able to know. I don't know if they're going to be counting or not. They may count. They have a good turnout, something that you can post and brag about. But I'm not going to quantify the turnout. I'm not going to try to define it, what a good turnout is. I just want you to answer the question, and then I'll do the same. You think it will be a good turnout, man? You think people will show up and we see a good crowd at the open practice this weekend?
I say turnover. I do not think that there will be a great crowd. There's a 90% chance of storms on Saturday. And unless that changes, I think that will deter people from coming, especially out-of-town folks. And then just the apathy. You and I feel it on a daily basis doing this show. We understand where the fans are at in totality. So I think that will also keep people away. And then there's also, you know, some people who are still taking COVID seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think the mixture of those three factors will not result in a good turnout.
The stadium's so big, man, even if it is a good turnout, it's not going to look like a good turnout. So I'm going to say turnover. I don't think it's going to be a great turnout. I think you mentioned, and this is something I wasn't even going to mention, you mentioned the weather, 90% rain. That was a good catch by you. But, man, I think there's going to be some folks there. But, you know, if it was Vanderbilt Stadium, I would say, yeah, good turnout, because it would look like a whole lot more because stadium is so small. But, man, if it's not 30,000 people, it don't even seem like it's anybody there because Neyland Stadium is so huge. So, but this is good, though. And continue to open this thing up. And this is the third week of spring practice. So they might have maybe another Saturday to do a practice before spring game.
That's the other thing. I don't think they've promoted it well. Not that they necessarily had to, but if they were going for a good turnout, then they should have, you know, scheduled it before spring practice began. That way people were aware of, okay, Tennessee's going to have a spring practice, in 3 weeks. Let's plan a day trip to Knoxville. We can go to Dead End. We can go by Alumni Hall. D.R. Vall likes to plan weekend trips to Knoxville. I'm sure that is something that maybe if he knew a month or so in advance that he and his lady friend could work out. Could even stop at Jared's in the mall before heading over to campus. It's on the way to Dead End. So D.R. Vall could have pulled that off. But I think that also does not help the turnout. I mean, technically, Tennessee has not even announced it yet. John Bryce mentioned it in a tweet yesterday. Tennessee is going to hold a practice on Saturday. They're just kind of waiting to announce it. So it's already Wednesday, and if they don't announce it today, then it'll obviously be Thursday, 2 days before it is supposed to be held, and it's somewhat early in the morning. Just a ton of factors going against a good turnout. But it is Tennessee fans at the end of the day, so I guess it would not surprise me if there is a good turnout.
Yeah, I think this weekend would be a good weekend for D.R. Vall to propose in front of, you know, the kneeling statue. Because yes. Kneeling is right there on the knee. D.R. Yes. Vall can get on the knee right there in front of kneeling, and boom, pop the big question. Be a great weekend for that.
I agree.
God, we're so terrible. We're the worst friends ever.
We're the best friends ever.
No, we're not. Friends are not supposed to do that to each other. I hope she's not listening.
I hope she is.
Let's go to the text box. Big Dan says, yeah, I had no idea they were having open practice this weekend. LOL. Yeah, I didn't know it was open to everyone. Thought it was just news only. Vol on Street says, morning. Guys, legally it's over for Caden. Do we have a lawyer out there to define dismiss with prejudice? Someone who can explain how judge comes up with that? I believe it means it's over, like it didn't happen. It's over. It ain't nothing to reach out to my guy Marcos Garza. Ain't nothing to do that. Or Google. Reach out to Marcos Garza about that. Florida Vol fan says, wish nothing but the best for Salter. Vol in Birmingham says, I'm glad someone finally got to him about what he was doing. Oh, yeah, definitely. Is the Central Florida quarterback in the transfer portal? Didn't know if Gabriel, whatever his name, hit the portal after Gus Bus was hired. No, I didn't hear anything about Gabriel hitting the transfer portal.
He should if he wants to be developed properly.
I know one thing.
He went from a legitimate quarterback developer to a pretend quarterback developer.
Oh, boy.
Who was the last quarterback that Gus developed? Don't worry. I'll wait. You'd probably have to go back to Arkansas State because he did not do so at Auburn. I'll give him credit for the work that he did with Nick Marshall. Nick Marshall converting from a DB to a
what did he do?
Athlete playing quarterback.
What did he do with Nick Marshall?
Almost won a national championship. They had that offense had success with Nick Marshall at quarterback. I'll give him credit for that. But I mean, it's not like he took Nick Marshall, who was a high school quarterback coming in, and just developed him into some all SEC type of player.
He took a player that was a great athlete, and he did a really good job in his system.
Yeah.
But he still did not develop a quarterback. Correct. And he didn't even do that with Cam Newton.
No.
Because Cam Newton went to the NFL and still had to develop as a passer. Still had to, you know, work on his delivery, his throwing motion. And that's still been the knock on Cam Newton to this day. So all Gus Malzahn did was take a freak, once-in-a-lifetime type of player.
And ride his coattails.
Correct. And that player just fit his system perfectly, Nick Marshall and Cam Newton. But Gus Malzahn has yet to develop a quarterback inside of the SEC. So, yeah, if I'm Dylan Gabriel and you get news of Gus Malzahn being the coach, He's a championship-competing coach. He won a championship as offensive coordinator. He's an SEC coach. He has a nice winning percentage in his conference. But you play quarterback. I don't know if you should be all that excited about your development and where you're going to go from here. You may win some games. That's great. But, man, you want to be coached by someone that's going to make you a better player each and every day. So, hopefully, Gus Malzahn, in Dylan Gabriel's case, hires a really good quarterback coach.
Which he also has not shown that he can do. Tried to bring in Chad Morris. And I realize this was more as offensive coordinator. But Chad Morris did not work out. I believe he was also the quarterback's coach. Rhett Lashley, who is doing great work at Miami right now, he did not work out. And then I think Gus was the head honcho in that regard, but prior to those two. But Jared Stidham got worse. Bo Nix, in my opinion, had a Gus Malzahn problem. I don't think Auburn had a Bo Nix problem. I think Bo Nix had a Gus Malzahn problem. And I think Gus has completely ruined Bo Nix. And good luck, Brian Harsin, and your new offensive staff. Good luck trying to correct all of the bad habits that Gus allowed to take place with Bo Nix. Jeremy Johnson did not work out.
Gus had Chip Lindsey's offense coordinator in 2018. Then they brought in Kenny Dillingham, and then they had Chad Morris. You mentioned Rhett Lashley. He's been through so many offensive coordinators, man. It ain't even funny.
But the media does not talk about these things. It is so strange.
Because Gus is like a really good dude. He's very well liked.
So I wonder if like Dylan Gabriel even kind of like realizes all of the facts that kind of we're talking about right now. I wonder if Dylan Gabriel realizes all this. Because, again, you're not really going to find the media talking about it.
When we talk about it.
Yes, but from a national media perspective or media members as a whole, you don't hear Gus talked about in the way that we are talking about him right now.
No,
you don't.
You don't. Because I think he's a really nice dude.
He is.
People like him.
I like Gus in that regard. I think he's overrated. I still think he's a good college football coach, but I do think he's overrated. Dismissed with prejudice means that it is dismissed permanently. A case dismissed with prejudice, am I saying that correctly, is over and done with once and for all and can't be brought back to court.
That's good, good. I like it.
That is according to Google.
Google's right. Make sure Marcus Garza agrees with that. Make sure that's 100%. So I'm just glad that, man, this stuff is in the past for Salter. He can move on and really focus on his family and just football. That really should be the two things that he's worried about in school. Three things. There should not be a fourth. And you know what? If you got a little boo, it's okay. I think he does have a little boo up here. Gotta have you a boo. Can't be around all these dudes all the time, man. You gotta have your nice little boo.
Gotta be booed up. And as you know, Swain, there are two times.
Hold on. Let me stop myself. I don't need no emails. If there's somebody on the team or any team that wants to roll like Michael Sam, that's okay too.
Well, you still get booed up in that way.
I made it seem like that.
It only had to be a female.
Yeah. So don't need no emails. Don't need no emails. I'm just going to forward them to Ben. Ben@VolQuest.com. Just going to forward to Ben. So if you do got a brother on the team and, you know, he likes to, you know, another dude, then whatever, you know, whatever, you just, but that's your thing, all right? Whatever, cool. But Salter, football, family, school, and a boo. One boo.
And it's important to be booed up two times a year, a.k.a. cuffing season. That is during football season. From August to December, January, you got to have a boo from that time period to take care of food, to just kind of be a shoulder to lean on. You just need somebody to help you take care of things during football season and then during spring practice as well. So it's cuffing season right now, as young folks like to say.
Hey, man. Limit the distractions if you're Salter. Limit the distractions. You're quarterback, so you got to put in way more work than everybody else. We'll go to the text box, YouTube, chat box, also Facebook Live. comments when we come back from break. Stay with us.
While the other guys are taking guesses, the Swain event is taking you behind the scenes and in the huddle every morning from 7 till 10 right here.
Out-of-town law firms have been swarming into East Tennessee lately. Firms from Memphis, Chattanooga, and Birmingham have stormed into the area. Wouldn't you rather do business with a local law firm? You know, a true neighbor. Marcos Garza and the pros at the Garza Law Firm are just that. They are our neighbors and friends that support local causes year-round. The Garza Law Firm works to serve you professionally on criminal matters, injuries and accident matters, and Social Security and disability filings. The Garza Law Firm is here for you at GarzaLaw.com. The Garza Law Firm. Let us help. When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONox.com. That's OFONox.com. We're here with Dr. Michael Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine to discuss stem cell treatment and PRP. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, Achilles tendonitis, or tennis elbow, you should give them a call.
That's right, Jason. We specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged tendons, ligaments, and joints by using ultrasound-guided injections with stem cells or PRP. And this form of treatment actually stimulates the body's own reparative process and allows for healing of the damaged tissue.
So, Doc, what makes your training different than others?
Well, Jason, I've been practicing in Knoxville for 26 years, and I'm certified in interventional regenerative orthopedic medicine through the American Academy of Orthopedic Medicine. So unlike the big seminars that will advertise stem cells, fly someone in for a couple hours to talk about supposed stem cells that you order off of a shelf, then they'll depart, leaving the patient wondering who will be the person injecting me and what their level of training is. At Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, I'm the one doing the procedure, and we're using your own bone marrow stem cells or PRP. So in other words, it comes from you and it goes back to you. So you know exactly what you're getting and know exactly the level of training involved.
Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, trsportsmedicine.com. East Tennessee's leader in PRP and stem cell therapy.
It's a new season, which means it's time to rep your team in new ways with gear from Game Time Sidekicks. Rep the Vols with every sip with a new tie-dye tumbler or bottle. They also have a new NFL Players Association product line, so you can support your favorite VFL on Sundays. Want to put your own flair on a tumbler? Game Time Sidekicks has you covered with options to add your own text or even a monogram on the back of your favorite team tumbler. To check out everything that Game Time Sidekicks has to offer, go to GameTimeSidekicks.com. Carry your team with Game Time Sidekicks.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Take a look at YouTube. Good morning, Donovan. Now, Rod says, according to John Bryce, we are going to have open practice this coming Saturday. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mike says, I've had a list of things I swore I'd never hear Swain say. Shindig has to be top of that. Swain, great vocabulary discipline. Yeah, I'm hanging out with Ben, man. Hanging out with Ben. Been over there at VolQuest, dropping articles now. I'm just hanging out with Ben. That's all, man. Stepping my game up a little bit. Hitting up Facebook live this morning. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Iris Networks hotline. 90 days. No payment for business internet. Let me get over here to these comments this morning. DBZ, good morning. Melissa, good morning. Terry, good morning. Pam, good morning, man. Nice midweek game for the baseballs. When you are a top five team in the country, you beat teams down the way that Tennessee baseball beat down their opponent. That's what you're supposed to do. Was it Austin Peay? No, it was West Kentucky.
Eastern
Kentucky. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to beat them down.
Eastern Kentucky once beat a top 10 Louisville team.
Oh, Ben, don't do that now. You're trying to pour some cold water on the fire. Don't say stuff like that, Ben. Don't say stuff like that. No, they beat them down, Pam, like they're supposed to. I wish they would have done Alabama like that.
Well, and really the good thing is that Tennessee was able to get two pitchers who the coaching staff was hoping to rely on throughout the season. They've been banged up the last month or so. They were able to get them back in action last night. Jason Rackers, I've spoken about him before. He signed not this past off season, but the preseason before the COVID season, and he had Tommy John, so he didn't end up missing all of last year because of what COVID did, but would have missed all of last year. I also believe he had a mono as well, so he dealt with mono and Tommy John last year, but when Tennessee signed him, he was expected to be big-time arm that can help as a weekend starter, and because of injuries, he has just not been able to, and he pitched early in the season this year and then kind of had a setback as he came back from Tommy John. But he was able to get back on the mound yesterday and will be available for innings this weekend. And then they were able to get Will Mabry, a nice little left-hander. I believe he's a freshman. They were able to get him on the mound, and he was pretty efficient as well. And Will Mabry is somebody that they also thought could earn some innings this year, even for a young guy. So it was nice to see both of them back on the mound after dealing with some injuries. Tennessee, this time of year, needs to start digging in a little deeper into its pitching staff, and it's good news that Rackers and Mabry will be available this weekend.
There you go, Pam. There you go. S.Y. says, how about Tennessee's development? I'd firmly say, saw a way worse job than Gus has done. Oh, absolutely. I mean, now if you want to compare the time that Gus has been there, 2013 to last year.
Tennessee developed more quarterbacks than Gus did.
Correct. I was getting ready to say that because Tennessee at least had
Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs. And Josh Dobbs developed and got better each and every year and was a drafted quarterback.
Under Bajakian and DeBoard.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Sheridan did a really good job with Josh Dobbs. So, Tennessee's had one developed quarterback since 2013, which is the first year that Gus Malzahn was there at Auburn. But Auburn's had more success, no doubt about it. But we're talking about developed quarterbacks. Tennessee's had one. Gus has had zero since 13. But that's why I listen. Lately it's been bad. Lately it's been worse than Auburn's.
Which is saying something because Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham were the last two quarterbacks Gus had at Auburn, and those were really bad as well.
Yep, talented players, but just seems like they didn't get better. Going back to the text box. In retrospect, what if we could have landed Mackenzie Milton? I don't think it was a good.
I was all aboard the Mackenzie Milton train. If for those who can remember us having that conversation, which was pre Jeremy Pruitt getting fired, if I remember correctly.
I was
all aboard the Mackenzie Milton hype train. I thought that he still had some ability left, even despite the knee injury, the devastating knee injury that he was coming off of. And I also thought that the main reason I wanted him is because I thought he would help kind of change the culture. He's a winner. He's a leader. And that's what Tennessee needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when Tennessee was in the driver's seat for Ty Simpson. He still had Pruitt as a coach. Yeah, I remember that conversation. Jake from Nashville says, would also accept Noah Locke over Askew.
I think I would, too.
I don't know, man.
I would because you have Kennedy Chandler coming in. You have Kennedy, and then Kennedy's kind of – did Askew play true point guard? He did, didn't he? I know Davion Mintz, I believe is his name, the transfer from Creighton, kind of took over late in the season as the primary ball handler.
I think I would take Askew.
I would take Locke because I think Tennessee needs another shooter.
I think you get a little bit more on defense, and he's able to be molded. He's only had 1 year. He's very talented, obviously. He's only played one season, so I think you get more from Askew versus Locke, who has 1 year to play.
It's funny that you view it that way because I view it kind of the opposite. I prefer Locke not only because he's a shooter, but because he also understands what this league is about, and he's had success in this league.
Yeah, but I think he's kind of been he's played a lot, so he's more stuck in his ways. I see Askew, a guy that can be molded, and it's okay. Wait, let me ask you something. When was the national championship game?
Monday night.
We didn't forget about the national championship game already, did we?
No.
Baylor had multiple dudes that can play point, can handle the ball, and go penetrate and make plays around the basket and get to the rim. And Chandler's just one.
Yes.
Bring in, and then you have Powell. But I don't think you can have too many of those guys that could play point if you need to. That if the rebound is secured by, let's say John Fulkerson comes back, you don't always have to look for Kennedy Chandler. You can look for any guard because all those guys have the capabilities of bringing the ball up court, running the break. And I think the more guys you have like that for Rick Barnes, the better. Look at what Baylor was able to do. Yeah, you had a point guard listed, with the starting lineup, but anyone can do it at any moment of the game. I think that's what Tennessee needs to get more of. So I would take Askew because he can do that more than Locke, even though Locke is a better shooter, and I think Askew could be a better defender.
I guess I just – Devin Askew just did not stand out to me this year, I guess. Maybe
he needs some coaching, man. He needs some better coaching.
And ESPN's story about him transferring, Jeff Borzello, it does refer to him as a – 6'3" point guard from California, 6.5 points, 2.9 assists, but struggled shooting the ball and was inconsistent taking care of the ball.
Yeah, he just needs some coaching, man.
And that doesn't completely scare me off.
He needs some coaching.
Because of what you're saying, he needs some coaching. But he did not impress me when I saw him play this year. I guess that's what's sticking out in my mind. And I agree with what you're saying about the Baylor aspect of you can't have enough Kennedy Chandlers or Justin Powells. But I also think in Tennessee's case, it also needs another shooter. And I would like to see Tennessee get two more transfers that, A, one is a post player to pair with John Fulkerson, assuming Folky comes back. And then, two, the other spot that I would like to see filled is a wing shooter. And that's kind of what Noah Locke is to me.
If you're not going to get a penetrator, a guy that can, create his own shot and can shoot it, at least get a 3-and-D guy. Get a guy that can shoot the three. Maybe not going to be, a guy that's going to take guys off the dribble, but he's going to play great defense. Is Noah Locke a 3-and-D guy?
He's a 3 guy.
I don't know if he's a 3-and-D guy.
This is going to sound weird.
I don't think he's a 3-and-D guy.
I don't know if I think he's a 3 guy. Don't know if he's a D guy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I saw that in him. So I think that's what Tennessee needs. you're not going to play for Rick Barnes if you're not playing defense. And one of our hottest shooters this season, and Victor Bailey, found himself on the bench, not because of anything he truly did offensively, except for sometimes being out of control, but the liability he was on the defensive end of the court. So give me a 3-and-D guy. Give me a 3-and-D guy.
Noah Locke did have his worst season this year of his three in Gainesville. As a freshman, he set the Florida record. Was it just the Florida record? It may have been the SEC record for threes in a season by a freshman. I can't remember. I know it was the Florida record at minimum, but shot 40% from three in doing so. And then last season, the one in which COVID canceled the tournament, he shot 43.2% from three. And then this past season, he shot 37% from three. So still a good number. 37 is a pretty decent number. But he did shoot under 40% from three for the first time in his career. Also shot under 40% from the field this past season for the first time in his career as well. You know, he's a guy that can handle the ball. I don't view him as a guy that can kind of attack and penetrate and create. I don't recall seeing that out of Noah Locke, but I have seen him handle the ball.
Yeah.
Any guard should be able to handle the ball.
Should,
but we know how that goes.
Should. Chris Lofton is the SEC leader career. I couldn't find anything on freshman. But anyways, Noah Locke can shoot. We know that. We've seen him splash shots on us for the last 3 years. But good stuff on text box. Always Vol says, I'm a big fan of Hendon Hooker, but there's a lot of talk about Maurer. If you had to pick between the two, who would you roll with? I'm rolling with Hendon. No, I would roll with Hendon, too, if I had to pick between the two.
I would, too.
And, you know, there's, you know, Maurer's problem is inconsistency and you know, the off-the-field stuff.
Maturity.
And that's something that he still has to battle. I mean, he had new coaches, but he don't have new teammates. His teammates still remember him from the first 2 years. And so how do they respond to Brian Maurer? I think he has a long way to go in that department. So, yeah, I would still pick Hendon, even though when I saw Maurer, he looked pretty good. But last practice, you know, no one really stood out, which is why it's a possibility that Tennessee may enter the transfer portal for a quarterback, which I think will tell you a lot about the current quarterbacks and where they are right now in their progression. You wouldn't get help if you didn't need help. Florida Vol fan says Winky didn't even wear a mask stealing that money. No, he did not. He did not wear a ski mask. Stick him up. Hands up. This is a stick up. Get him up. Get your hands up. Empty your pockets. Watches, keys, loose change. Give it to me all now. No mask. Taking all Tennessee's money.
Bless you.
That was a cough.
I know.
That was weird. Andy says, not that Andy.
Andy? What's up, buddy?
Andy Mizuno, golfer, says, zero good return guys since Evan Berry.
Evan Berry. Well, Velas is a good return guy. I know he did not have any big returns this past season, but he's like the second leading kick returner in Pac-12 history. Second all time on the kick returns list at USC, or in the Pac-12 from his time at USC.
Yeah, you gotta get some better blocking on the kickoff return. We gotta coach that up a little bit better this year with the special teams unit, kickoff return unit. A guy like Vila should be averaging 25 yards of return or more. He's so explosive. I did not pay attention to how great his vision was, but you got to be able to block. And Evan Berry had some awesome holes that he ran through.
And awesome vision and broke tackles. So
correct.
He's right. Tennessee hasn't had any kick returners as good as Evan Berry.
No.
Which, I don't know, Tennessee may never have a kick returner as good as...
Won't be anytime soon.
No.
He, like, broke a record, I think.
Yeah, Evan Berry's an all-time great kick returner. But Tennessee does have... They've got two good options at kick return entering the season. We talked about it earlier in the show, Jalen Wright and his speed. He's projected to contribute on kickoff. I imagine Jalen Wright will be back in towards the end zone with Velus, back on kickoffs with Velus.
The good thing about having guys like that on kickoff return, running backs, they're used to holding the ball.
Yep.
They're used to securing it. Ball security is something they work on every single day. But when you have sometimes a DB back there, they don't work on ball security every day. You know, you typically see those running backs and receivers back there because, you know, they work on ball security very frequently. But Evan Berry was a defensive player, and he didn't have any trouble.
He did get one fumble.
That's because it was helmet to helmet.
Was that the A&M?
Oh, my gosh. He got crushed. I mean, he went limp a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, the ball dropped then, but – and Evan Berry wasn't small either, man. He's a big dude. You know, them Bears got them big old shoulders anyways.
Yep.
Ken says, agreed, Swain. I was talking about the running backs and this group having a better chance to be able to break tackles in space and have more of a home run threat. He says, next time Eric Gray makes someone miss will be his first time, which is primarily why I wasn't disappointed to see him leave. Smalls by far was our most impressive running back last year. In very limited time. Look forward to seeing him play this year. I don't know how you came to that conclusion, Ken. Man, that's an interesting stance there. I thought Eric Gray was by far the best running back, and Eric Gray did make guys miss. You know, that's one thing he was great at, is making guys miss. His thing was, man, that burst. We didn't get that burst to 20 to 30 yards. We didn't get those big-time runs. You know, Eric Gray would, and this is where Ken may be partially right, he'll make a guy miss in space, and then one other guy would tackle him in space. So he could make multiple guys miss in space, which is probably a hard ask. But
he wasn't Marlon Lane or Rajon Neal in that regard, to where if somebody got a hand on them, they were coming down. Regardless, like, he would make a guy miss, but he's not breaking five tackles on a run. He's not breaking multiple tackles.
And that's where it's so different from Kamara. And listen, I don't know what Kamara was as a second year player out of high school. And so we're going to see Eric Gray continue to evolve and get better. And by the time he's a junior, senior, then we may see that, you know, if you turn it on, you know, Big 12 football, watch Oklahoma play.
Eric Gray's an NFL player,
but he'll turn more into that for sure. But I thought Eric Gray was our best back last year. Smalls came in and you know, gave us some flashes of John Kelly, but Gray was definitely
and also because Gray is more of today's style of running back, of being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. That is so important in today's football. If you are a running back, is the ability to catch the football out of the backfield, and he did that very well. I believe he finished the season as Tennessee's third leading receiver, so that'll benefit him as well. Thought it was interesting last night when Jerry Mack was speaking with the media. He said when he was asked about his group being able to catch passes out of the backfield, he noted that yesterday when they went through 7-on-7 drills, the running backs actually caught the first four or five passes of the drill, and that he was pleased with their ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Major. That's where the game is going, man. You can't have a brick-handed running back. And that was a knock on Leonard Fournette. But he did a good job catching the ball out of the backfield, especially in the Bucs' run to the Super Bowl. Josh in Phoenix sent this to us yesterday around noon. We were not on, but I'm going to read it anyways. DRVol said he's joining VolQuest to mess with you.
I saw that.
He said that yesterday. But Josh in Phoenix says, Swain, it is simple. If you hit a woman or animal, you need to go. There's no flexibility on that. for fighting a guy, you can investigate to see what happened and then decide. UT keeps letting stuff go when they should not. It is time for them to stop prioritizing football over basic human decency. I'm trying to think of these examples where football was placed over human decency. I can't think of a ton of examples off the top of my head.
Joe Mixon's the first one that comes to my head.
UT, not Oklahoma. UT keeps letting stuff go when they should not. It is time to stop prioritizing football over basic human decency. So I'm trying to think of like Tennessee doing that. Off top of my head, I really can't just throw out a bunch of cases where that's happened. Bryce Thompson has some allegations, and dating back to his time coming out of high school, it's why South Carolina didn't take him. Tennessee took him, gave him a chance, and then you had the incident that happened where he allegedly said some things that was, very scary, and had some threatening language. The people, I guess, that was around were interviewed, and Bryce Thompson eventually joined a team back. I mean, joined the team. But like nothing was concrete of what he actually did. You had a player, hit a female, and he was dismissed quick, fast, in a hurry. Pruitt had a walk-on early that was accused of that. He was dismissed, and then his case was dismissed afterwards. I think that was Ryan Thaxton.
Yes. You had the running back under Butch that was dismissed.
Trayvon Polk.
Now, there are two that were suspended indefinitely, but ultimately returned to the team or is currently playing for the team. Alexis Johnson, former Tennessee defensive tackle, was arrested on aggravated assault after allegedly strangling another individual.
Okay.
And I do believe that was a female. He was suspended for a very long time, but ultimately did play before the end of his career. And then Daryl Middleton had the incident with his girlfriend last February, where he shoved his girlfriend twice as she tried to break up a fight between he and I believe another male that was pursuing his girlfriend. And she scraped her knee, and Middleton announced later that he was seeking alcohol counseling. So that's not saying that's great what he did, but it's much different to me than strangling somebody or
just hitting them.
Yes. Yeah. But that is, Middleton is still on the team, and I guess that would kind of fit the mold.
I think there's a time where, the process has to take hold, and you find out all the details, and you find out the story, and then you act accordingly after you gathered all the facts and details. Josh's point at the beginning of his message, if you hit a woman or animal, you need to go. I certainly think if you hit a woman, like if you just straight up hit a woman, you should go. I don't know if I put an animal and a woman in the same category. I don't know if I do or don't. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm sorry. I don't have a definitive answer. Do I view animals the same way I view a woman? So like if a player hits a rabbit or hits a dog or a cat, I think they're just, there has to be more to the story than just, oh, you just hit a dog or you just hit a rabbit or you just hit a squirrel or you just hit just an animal. I don't don't think I view that the same as hitting a woman. I don't. I think there has to be more information. Now, if you try to beat down a dog or a cat like Aaron Beasley is being alleged in doing, then that's a problem.
Yes, when you hold a 6-month old kitten, I think it was, when you hold it by the tail in the toilet, and then you also kick it, and yeah. I mean, if you go look at the incident report, the list of injuries and things that the cat is dealing with is just ridiculously long and disturbing, quite frankly.
It's very, very disturbing. And so, like, I'm not on, oh, it's just a cat, it's not a big deal. And I'm not on the hit, if you hit an animal, it's the same as hitting a female. Like, I'm not on that either. I just think you have to treat each case as its own, gather the details, and then make a decision. If I'm making the decision on Aaron Beasley, I truly don't know what I would do. And it's probably a good thing that I'm not a AD or head coach. Because I think it's easy. All right, you get busted with some weed, gun, scale. All right, dismissed. All right, you hit a female. Boom, you're done. You shoot a gun up in the air. Boom, you're done. You're trying to sell drugs and got a drug ring going on as an athlete. Oh, that's easy. The Aaron Beasley stuff is a little bit, I think it's a little bit harder. Because maybe you can help him. Maybe you can help him. But if the backlash is strong and you start getting these animal rights groups, and they're putting pressure on Chancellor Plowman and Randy Boyd and Danny White, man, that's a whole another layer there. I'm just glad I'm not making that decision. Just when you thought you heard it all. Golly, man. We'll go to the phones after this.
While the other guys are taking guesses, the Swain Event is taking you behind the scenes and in the huddle every morning from 7 till 10 right here.
Out-of-town law firms have been swarming into East Tennessee lately. Firms from Memphis, Chattanooga, and Birmingham have stormed into the area. Wouldn't you rather do business with a local law firm? You know, a true neighbor. Marcos Garza and the pros at the Garza Law Firm are just that. They are our neighbors and friends that support local causes year-round. The Garza Law Firm works to serve you professionally on criminal matters, injuries and accident matters, and Social Security and disability filings. The Garza Law Firm is here for you at GarzaLaw.com. The Garza Law Firm. Let us help. When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was office furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONox.com. That's OFONox.com. We're here with Dr. Michael Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine to discuss stem cell treatment and PRP. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, Achilles tendonitis, or tennis elbow, you should give them a call.
That's right, Jason. We specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged tendons, ligaments, and joints by using ultrasound-guided injections with stem cells or PRP. And this form of treatment actually stimulates the body's own reparative process and allows for healing of the damaged tissue.
So, Doc, what makes your training different than others?
Well, Jason, I've been practicing in Knoxville for 26 years, and I'm certified in interventional regenerative orthopedic medicine through the American Academy of Orthopedic Medicine. So unlike the big seminars that will advertise stem cells, fly someone in for a couple hours to talk about supposed stem cells that you order off of a shelf, then they'll depart, leaving the patient wondering who will be the person injecting me and what their level of training is. At Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, I'm the one doing the procedure, and we're using your own bone marrow stem cells, or PRP. So in other words, it comes from you and it goes back to you. So you know exactly what you're getting and know exactly the level of training involved.
Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, trsportsmedicine.com. East Tennessee's leader in PRP and stem cell therapy.
It's a new season, which means it's time to rep your team in new ways with gear from Game Time Sidekicks. Rep the Vols with every sip with a new tie-dye tumbler or bottle. They also have a new NFL Players Association product line, so you can support your favorite VFL on Sundays. Want to put your own flair on a tumbler? Game Time Sidekicks has you covered with options to add your own text or even a monogram on the back of your favorite team tumbler. To check out everything that Game Time Sidekicks has to offer, go to GameTimeSidekicks.com. Carry your team with Game Time Sidekicks.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Get the Turkey Man on the Irish Network's hotline. Swain Event fueled by Daddy and Barbecue. Turkey Man, good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother.
How you doing?
Hey, you hit right on the nail right on the head right there before you went to break about we could help this young man. And I don't know how much of an athlete, I don't know how much you'd help on the field. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But too many times, especially now, people are convicting people of certain things, or just get on and jump on in 2 cents worth. And I don't know what happened. I don't know. I heard what Ben was saying a little bit. I hadn't read nothing like that. What all took place? But we go looking at a direction or a political this or political that, and we need to look at it more of what's right and what's wrong. And I was thinking of the parable. I know you guys both will know the parable I'm speaking of, that when they caught the woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Christ and said, this is what the law says to do. We stone them. And he's tempting Christ and saying, what do you say we do with him? And he bent down as he was drawn on the ground there. Everybody talks about the woman. That's directed at the woman. But I've always felt like it takes two to tango. And I felt like the guy was in on that crowd, what we're going to do with him. I think he was hollering loudest in that regards. He said, you without sin, cast the first stone. Well, that is true, but we've all failed. But if this young man can be rebuilt, helped. I mean, we've throwed people out for a whole lot worse. And we're trying to make this difference between an animal and humans and this and that. But we're talking about, remember A.J. Johnson, remember the situation with him?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And all that he had to suffer because he was innocent. Let's look at trying to help and educate. And if he can go somewhere else and play, or he can go somewhere else and do this, that, and the other, I mean, football may not be a deal. I don't know. But let's quit convicting people till we know.
Well, and I mean, it doesn't it doesn't look good for Beasley. I don't know if it's one of those situations where it's like, all right, well, let's determine if he's innocent or guilty. I don't think he's suspended indefinitely unless Tennessee felt confident that he did something wrong and he was guilty of something. I think the argument is, and I think this is what you're trying to say, Turkey, man, is, man, you don't have to always just throw people away. Sometimes there's people and situations that are worth fighting for. And Jermaine Banks wasn't thrown away. And Jermaine Banks, I mean, what he said, how he behaved, not good at all. But look at him now. And would he be at this point if he was just thrown away? I don't think he would be. So not saying that Beasley is innocent or he didn't do anything wrong or trying to minimize, oh, just a cat. No. The act is despicable, but is he worth helping? Sometimes you need to help a young man or young lady rather than just throwing them out. And that's the decision that the leadership at Tennessee will have to make. Some folks feel differently based on how they feel about animals, and I respect that. Certainly a distraction, for sure, for this Tennessee football program that is trying to get rid of all the distractions. Hour 3 coming up.